Guys, it's finally happening. Sports are back. 2020, I knew you had it in you. Sure, games will look different, but one thing remains the same. Hooters for your game day grub. That's right, no waiting in lines for cold hot dogs or warm beer. This season, watch the action from your couch with Hooters nearly world-famous wings or not-so-famous but still delicious salads and sandwiches. And don't forget the fries. Come on, give your crew the food they want. Visit order.hooters.com for pickup or delivery. Hooters, the original wing joint since 1983.
This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. It has been presented by Hooters for the last four seasons. Of course, Papa Bay was the original sponsor of my first podcast, season one of this Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. I thank Hooters for their continuing support of this podcast, and also because Hooters chose to not host any draft parties this year. I thank Bill Curry Ford, and specifically Todd Wright Tour Fantasy Podcast League owner, Sean Sullivan, who is the general manager of Bill Curry Ford, a big supporter of JoeBucksFan.com, for offering his showroom for one podcast league. We consolidated as best we could, three leagues into one. Two leagues essentially went on hiatus for 2020 for logistical reasons. And of course, Sean Sullivan dropped the $1,000 bounty the night of the draft that he is defending as a common contestant. So we call it Win Bill Curry's Money. Everyone in the Todd Wright Tour Fantasy 2020 League is playing for $1,000 courtesy of Bill Curry Ford. Thanks to Hooters and thanks to Bill Curry Ford for their continuing support of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. My social media is at ToddWright2020 on Instagram as well as Twitter. And if you'd like to be my Facebook friend and you promise to never ask me to like any additional pages, you can do so. I am simply Todd Wright in Tampa, Florida. Recording this fantasy podcast on late Tuesday afternoon. It's more numeric than anything. Wanted to crank something out early in the week, and then I'll get to you again later in the week. It's a busy week for me because I am hosting my next golf tournament. It has been sold out for many weeks now. It is Todd Wright Tour XXVII. It is my annual football-themed golf tournament where, in addition to how you score on the golf course, you can also score by making accurate NFL selections against a modified Las Vegas line. Starting last year, I would move numbers in certain directions to challenge, let's say, novice football fans away from picking the biggest name quarterback or the home team. I want them to pay attention to the point spread, so the lines are modified from what, say, the talented Jay Cornegay and his staff would offer at the Westgate Superbook. But it is a way basically to earn a handicap in the golf tournament because you can knock half strokes off your score for every correct NFL game you select. We've been doing this tournament for a few years now, and it is one of my more popular ones. We will be hosting that at West Chase Golf Club this Saturday, and I will have an announcement next week about Todd Wright Tour XXVIII number 28, which will close out our 2020 calendar. It was an expanded calendar based on our new relationship with Walt Disney World. We added an event this summer because the demand was so high, and we will be going back to Walt Disney World again in 2021. But our last event will be Saturday, December the 12th, and I will have details on that in this and future podcast after my next golf tournament is played. It was a week three where at one point I looked at the top producing running backs at roughly at the end of the 1 o'clock Eastern time window, and I may not have seen any running back ones from our fantasy drafts. None of them. I take that back. Derrick Henry. That was it. That was the only clear RB1 among the top 10 from the 1 o'clock window. Now, some hadn't played yet. For example, Ezekiel Elliott played in the late afternoon window, Cowboys and Seahawks. Sunday night game, Aaron Jones, although many of you drafted him, and very wisely, as an RB2, was in the Sunday night window. So was Alvin Kamara. We're going to give him some time in this edition of the Fantasy Football Podcast. So some of the RB1s hadn't played yet. But the point being is that so many fantasy productive RB1s from the early afternoon games in week three produced RB1 numbers, yet you did not draft them nor roster them, may not have even ever considered them until week three, even if they were on waivers, as someone that you would consider offering that type of production. So it gets down to, I often talk here on the podcast to others and to Gil Alexander on my weekly segment on the Vegas Stats and Information Network, VSiN, which I think we're going with 11 a.m. every Friday until further notice, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific, with Gil Alexander on a numbers game on VSiN to talk fantasy football. And I want players that touch the ball. And this is also coming from someone that doesn't play PPR. Now, I don't have any choice in DraftKings, but none of my leagues have PPR. And I've done entire podcasts devoted to trying to convince those of you with influence in your leagues to stop playing essentially point for nothing PPR football. That said, in my 21st century modernized standard scoring leagues, I still put an extreme premium on guys who touch the ball the most. That's what I want. Give me as many guys on an every week basis that are going to touch the ball the most, and I feel I have a chance to win in fantasy. So I've been asked about this via a couple of emails and off the air in the last week, and it's not that difficult to figure out, but I just wanted to give you some of the numbers through 3 weeks, some of the total numbers, and what it means. And a lot of the names will not surprise you. Some might, but the numbers will tell you a lot. So let's actually start with the running back position, because so many of you know for a long time how big I have been on both the on-field potential of Derrick Henry and the fantasy potential of Derrick Henry. And once the Titans started feeding him the ball, it not only turned the fortunes of that franchise around, it changed the way you perceive him from a fantasy standpoint, which is why in both of my leagues this year, both the Foundation League, my personal league, and the Todd Wright Tour Fantasy 2020 League, the podcast league, I drafted Derrick Henry in both leagues. Simple reason. He touches the ball. Through 3 weeks, independent of the quarterback position, which you have to take differently, and we will continue to do podcasts on how the use of legs supplements. It's beyond a supplement now. The point production at the quarterback position. I even told some of you Saquon Barkley owners said, look, I can't wave a magic wand. I don't have any interest in that Harry Potter shit. There's no way you can replace going forward the RB1 you drafted in Saquon Barkley. Now, can you fall into or find RB1 production some weeks? Yeah, week three proved it. With all the non-RB1 production that was there for many running backs in the early afternoon games. But how consistent will that prove to be? So I said to the Barkley owners, it's probably more easy for you to acquire via waivers or trade a quarterback who can give you some of the running back numbers you lost, some of the rushing touchdowns you lost via the quarterback position if you don't already have that. But back to touches, back to running backs with touches. Through 3 weeks, Was I unhappy Derrick Henry didn't get in the end zone the first 2 weeks? Yeah. But you got to look at the bigger picture. No non-quarterback has touched the ball more than Derrick Henry through 3 weeks. 87 touches. That's nearly 30 times a game he touches the ball. So let me do an aside for you. That's why this PPR shit was created. Because that's what Emmett Smith would do. That's what Barry Sanders would do. That's what Thurman Thomas would do. In some games, even a Chris Warren. Remember him with the Seahawks? That created PPR. Because there were so many running backs that dominated the touches that the fantasy community felt, well, the only way to balance it out is to give more points to wide receivers catching the ball to keep up with these number one running backs. Derrick Henry is a throwback. 87 touches the ball through 3 weeks. 29 per week. That's 87 chances he's going to do something for you in a positive sense. It also minimizes the times that the Tennessee still runs the ball with 8 men in the box. Someone misses a blocking assignment, and Henry goes down for a loss of 1 or 2. It's going to happen. But at 29 touches per game, the impact of those is minimized because of how often he is touching the ball. In one of my leagues, my RB2 pick was Josh Jacobs for the same reason. He touches the ball. And even though he didn't practice all week or until later in the week, and he's just a second-year guy, and he was in a matchup against the Patriots on Sunday, what did he do? He touched the ball. He is second most in the NFL among non-quarterbacks in players who touch the ball. 78. So Derrick Henry at 87, Josh Jacobs at 78. This is why in one of my leagues, I believe it was the podcast league. Yes, it was in the podcast league. I went Henry first round, Josh Jacobs second round. They touch the ball. Ezekiel Elliott is next. There are owners of Ezekiel Elliott who were upset that he didn't get in the end zone enough last year, or some said he had a down year. Yeah, he touched the ball more than any player inside the red zone and inside, I believe, the 5-yard line of anyone in the NFL last year. Stop bitching. You want bitching about Ezekiel Elliott? I'll give you bitching about Ezekiel Elliott as a Cowboy fan. It has nothing to do with fantasy. Cowboys with the ball late, in a position to kill clock and put points on the board to go ahead of the Seahawks. On the Seahawks side of the field, they go 3 and out, send Zuerlein out for what they know is a field goal that only gets them ahead for now, because Russell Wilson's got plenty of time and all his timeouts to come back. And in that 3-down sequence, Ezekiel Elliott never touched the ball. That's a problem. In fantasy, he's third among non-quarterbacks in touching the ball through 3 weeks at 73. Next up, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, drafted as my running back 2 in my foundation league, even in a rough matchup against the Ravens on Monday night. Even though he was handed the ball 6 times within the 5-yard line in the opening game against the Texans and never scored. What's most important? He touches the ball. He has opportunities. If you don't have the ball, you cannot produce fantasy points in any format. Edwards-Helaire is 4th with 66. Then we go Austin Eckler, who was given a significant amount of time because Kelly had the fumble in week 3. It had been even up to that point between Eckler and Kelly. We talked about that last week on the podcast. Eckler now at 63 touches through 3 weeks. Aaron Jones at 60. And I'll give you a few more running backs. Drake, 59. Mixon, 59. And then there's Alvin Kamara, who only started to get in the end zone at the end of last year because the Saints had to get a little bit more creative with how they used him. He everything that was once said about Christian McCaffrey not being able to run between the tackles, it kind of applies to Alvin Kamara. But Sean Payton's a smart coach. You don't fight something like that. You figure out other ways to use a talented player that they just re-signed at what? A very high price tag. Kamara has touched the ball through 3 weeks 58 times. Drew Brees has handed it to him 31, thrown it to him 27. I believe he leads all running backs in receptions. I think Eckler is second, and there's one more, by 10. There's no one even close. This is the Saints getting creative with how to use Kamara, get him into space, and not make him do something he's not equipped to do. Run between the tackles. 58 touches of the football. Let's move over to the wide receiver position as it relates to touches. Hopkins, 32. Amari Cooper, 25. Some are upset Amari Cooper isn't getting in the end zone. Think big picture. He's still a focal point of a very productive Dallas offense that has to score as much as possible to be in or win games. These things tend to balance out. Lockett, 3 touchdowns against the Cowboys. He's at 24 touches. Keenan Allen, 24 touches of the ball. Ridley didn't score this week. You're spoiled because he had 2 week 1, week 2. He's still 5th among wide receivers, or the position I put in instead of a tight end, a wide receiver tight end flex. Ridley has more touches than Travis Kelce. He has more touches than Darren Waller. Kelsey's at 21, Waller's at 20. Ridley at 23. I mentioned 21 touches of the ball by a tight end. Tyler Boyd off a big week 3 game in the tie against the Eagles, as the Bengals and Burrow smartly didn't go at Darius Slay. Boyd has 21 touches of the ball. So if you've been keeping him out of your lineup, might want to think about getting him in, because A.J. Green's had some bad games. And Boyd just had his best game and is generally very reliable and seems to be building a rapport with Joe Burrow. At 20 touches, Robbie Anderson, he's just got to be thrilled he's not a Jet. Robbie Anderson's touches is affecting those of you who drafted DJ Moore to be a starter. This isn't going away. Stephon Diggs, first year in Buffalo, fine, 20 touches through 3 weeks. Cooper Kupp, 20 touches. 2 of those, I believe, have been rushing attempts. Ridley also has 2 attempts rushing to supplement the receptions. Again, these are touches. This is my stat. And then Allen Robinson, 19, and 3 guys with 17 touches. Juju, Devontae Adams, even though he sat out week 3, and Gage, who got hurt in week 3. They lead your touches at wide receiver, and I gave you the top 2 at tight end, 21 and 20. Also, last week, I mentioned in my segment with Gil how I saw more tight ends contributing legitimate fantasy points. Most of that, at least through 3 weeks, looks very touchdown dependent. It appears that a number of offenses are successfully utilizing the short yardage play to the tight end to get in the end zone. Higbee, Croft, a couple others stand out in this category. It's too touchdown dependent for me, where you're relying on one play to get you the value to justify their starting position. So I'll continue to follow that. But while I do see more tight ends putting up fantasy points that are worthwhile, I'm thinking that a percentage of them are simply too touchdown dependent for you to count on them, especially if you've adopted what I did 6 years ago: eliminate the tight end and play wide receiver tight end flex there, which still allows you to play a big-time tight end like a Kelce or a Waller. And now with Goddard out for an indeterminate amount of time. That seems to propel Zach Ertz again to where you thought he would be. And even before just these first 2 weeks, last year in some key spots, Goddard seemed to get the bigger plays or the scoring plays rather than a Zach Ertz. Look, if the Eagles are going to deploy two tight ends, yeah, if you're an opposing defense, you're more worried about Ertz because he has more of a history than Goddard. And Peterson was smart to use Goddard. You're not going to take your best cover linebacker or your best cover safety and put him on Goddard instead of Ertz. So the Eagles took advantage of that. But now with Goddard hurt, it essentially forces Wentz to go to Ertz. And let's face it, the Eagles don't have much else that he can throw to right now. All right, let me get you the keyword, and then we'll stop this podcast, and I'll get you another one later this week. Many of you who listen to the podcast had no problem putting a keyword in your email. I'm just requiring it this year for me to respond to your email and answer questions. Basically, I'm rewarding those of you who listen to the podcast and saying, I'm at your beck and call. And for these people who for 3 years sent me emails and I responded and I encouraged them to listen to the podcast and they didn't, they're now not going to get my attention. So the week four keyword is as chosen by William in Minnesota, who is a Packer fan. Since he used the keyword, I asked him to pick the keyword for this week. Thank you, William. William picked fumble. That's the keyword this week. So if you want to send me an email with a question about a trade, a question about a waiver claim, a question about whether a player is roster worthy, a question about how you're feeling about making a change in your starting lineup, and you want a second opinion from me, include the word fumble in the subject line or in early in your email, and I will respond to your email and give you the attention you deserve. Fumble is the keyword for week four for the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Send your emails to ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Thanks to Hooters. Thanks to Bill Curry Ford. Thanks to all of you for listening to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. We'll talk to you later in the week.